Bill Lane crosses up Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get another rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
It's good.
She got it.
Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. I'm Leo Stauderher, your sports director here, and we're once again in triple threat formation here with my regular cast of co-hosts here. I'm joined by WZND's production director and the voice of the Quad City Storm, Mr. Joey Dwyer.
Thank you. Thank you. Both of those very impressive accolades.
Yeah, I don't have any accolades like that. I know Quad City Storm broadcaster right there.
And the voice you just heard was our producer and just director of general well-being here at WZND, yeah. Joe Kennedy. And we have a great show coming up tonight. We are back to having an interview. It's Chili Bowl week here in Normal West versus Normal Community. Coach Jason Drangwitz from the Ironmen will be joining us in just a few minutes. We'll have an interview with him. We're going to kick things off talking about some Redbird sports. Then Gavin Broderick's going to come on the show. We're going to talk some Detroit Lions because, well, he made the choice to, and we respect that.
He's a big Detroit guy, so we got to do his
Detroit
thing.
Guy.
And we'll wrap things up with the pick six because that's a segment you all look for. And it was a pretty good weekend in Illinois State sports. It was homecoming weekend. It finally felt like a good atmosphere.
It
was, I mean, I was at the football game, and it was probably the most packed I've seen Hancock Stadium maybe in my 4 years here. It was a really cool atmosphere there. Obviously, a big part of that was the North Dakota State fans that traveled. There was lots of green and yellow there, but still, regardless, it was a sellout there, and the atmosphere was good because the 20-0 final score wasn't the best, but the atmosphere was fun. The fans stayed till the end and were into it. It was just so much fun to have a real homecoming back. We saw a lot of old friends. A lot of our old directors came back. It was really what it felt like a college homecoming should feel like this past week.
And, like, even the call, I was listening to you and Schweizer doing on the radio, and even, like, even listening to it, it sounded like there were way more people in Hancock mm-hmm. Stadium than there have been in years. And I think you're right. It's an absolute combination of like the itch to get back out there and have like a normal homecoming yeah. weekend again. I feel like just amped up the celebration. So regardless of the impact on the field, I think that the whole weekend was a success as far as the university.
And where we did have success was on the volleyball court, because we did have biggest 3-game stretch of the entire season. ISU volleyball, little bit of a slow start, conference play and even non-conference play, but they won 3 games against the 1-2-3 ranked teams in the Missouri Valley Conference to put the Illinois State Redbirds up to second place now, beat Loyola, beat Bradley, beat Valparaiso, and they're in a roll. The Birds are back. They're finally feeling their rhythm. They're back together. Tamara Otene is proven to be one of the best players in the Missouri Valley Conference, as well as Sarah Kushner. We've already known that, but That was fun to watch. I was at that game on Friday, and that was a really good atmosphere, too, there. There were a lot of fans in that one.
And just talking about the emergence of Tamara Otene, I think that's helped Sarah Kushner in the sense that Sarah doesn't have to do all the work, because it seemed like that was how things went early in the season, where every play was getting set up for Kushner to finish it. And now you have that complementary option where now Otene can take the spotlight in nights where Kushner's maybe being schemed out. And it just brings that whole different element into the field. And that's what they were missing, somebody that complements Sarah Kushner. And now that they have that 1-2 punch, they're going to be a dangerous team moving forward.
And it feels like this was only a matter of time, right? Like this team, because even though they lost some really key players over the offseason, we knew that they had all of this young talent who had been waiting on the bench or waiting.
And they were doing good at the beginning of the season. Like, they just weren't consistent.
And so I think it's like the Coach Johnson has just done an outstanding job with this program, so any team that she fields is going to be good. And then on top of that, them, this new squad kind of getting these reps, getting used to each other, getting the chemistry up, I feel like now they're really hitting their stride, and they have, what, 9 games left in the Valley?
9 games left.
And I think that they're on their way to another 1 seed in the Valley for sure.
And they had this 3 games in a row, and they're going to actually close out the end of the season with those same 3 teams. So right now it's good to get that momentum back in the middle part of this conference play, and then end things off before the conference against the 3 best teams too.
And obviously another thing to consider is the health factor, that this was the first time this past weekend that they were at 100% health wise that they had Caitlin Pronzinski, Nicole Lund, and Caitlin Leffler were all healthy again. Those are 3 starters that they went a couple weeks without. So now this is, because even before then there were a couple players dealing with nagging injuries. Now they have a full clean bill of health, and they are in a very good spot here moving into the bulk of their conference play with the roster you anticipated to have, and then some other players that have emerged into the fold.
It's just fun to watch because Aaliyah Moore, too, she's been a great addition. Those front 3 of them, Kushner, Otene, and Moore, it doesn't get much better than that in the Missouri Valley Conference. And you saw on Friday night against Chicago, Loyola Chicago, that they were up for the task. It was 3 tough sets to start off. Redbirds got off to a great start and winning the first, losing the second. But they just stayed consistent. They didn't really have – what I noticed this year in some of it on the offense – just a couple of bad passing errors, assisting errors, but other than that, I think they cleaned things up completely for ISU. And Coach Johnson just done such a good job. 5 wins away from 100 career wins already at ISU in such a short period of time.
Exactly.
Too.
And like you said, like those little mistakes that we saw earlier in the season are really starting to get cleaned
up. Yeah,
they're
gone.
And that's just like this team getting used to each other, and that's, and they are hitting their stride at the perfect time. It's going to be so exciting to watch them down the road. And I mean, they're what, back-to-back-to-back MVC champions right now.
Mm-hmm. Might be another back in there somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. They're probably going to add another one, because right now I don't see another team that is able to beat them consistently.
And 2-time guest Katie Weimerskirt, she just got to the 16th Redbird to join the 1,000 kills or digs mark, so great accomplishment by her. She's played in almost every single set since she's been on this campus.
That's a player, too, that I feel like, I mean, it's our fault we're the ones talking about it, but she's a player that doesn't get brought up as much in those conversations when
she
you're
talking
about
the
depth.
She doesn't have, like, the fancy stats,
but she is just always
the
there, always the one facilitating everything. That you take her out of the fold, that's when I think things would really just fall apart, because she's been kind of the linchpin of things this season, where she's always the one involved in the activity on the court.
Yeah, it's so important to have somebody who's there, like, in the background, kind of, because it was Kendall Meyer for such a long time for this team, and Katie Weimerskirt has filled that role so perfectly. It's incredible to me that this team just, they never miss a beat. Even when they lose their stars, they never miss a beat. They're always good. They're always at the top of the conference. Illinois State's a volleyball school right now.
Yeah, I have
to say.
And the 2 games they got this weekend are against UNI, Drake. They beat UNI earlier in the season, and Drake, they lost in 3 sets, so they kind of got swept by Drake, actually, in the first game, I believe, of the season, revenge game now.
That was a game where they were missing some of their starters. They were missing Lund and Pronzinski, and those are 2 tough players to replace.
Yeah.
And so you can catch the volleyball games this Friday and Saturday, 5:50 on Friday, 6:50 on Saturday. Both games would broadcast on WZND. And now we'll move into another area of Illinois State sports, because hoops are coming back. I know you can get excited for that.
Let's
go. We had Hoop Fest on Friday, and the preseason polls for both the Missouri Valley Conference men's and women's basketball came out this fall, or just this week. And
tale of two sides.
It is a tale of two sides. I mean, there's a lot has been said about both of these teams. Grades have been given out. Rankings have been made. And I think we can feel more confident about one side than the other. So let's start with maybe the women's side, the team that we are feeling very confident. They were predicted to finish 4th, and that even seems like a bit of an underranking for them.
Yeah, I really thought so, because they bring back a lot, and they have added, too, as well, a couple of players. One that was on the national team in a Central American country.
Jada Stinson, she was on Team Puerto Rico in the Olympics.
Puerto Rico, okay.
And yet, so that's the thing, too, that so they only lost Paige Saylor and Terrion Moore from last year's team. They brought in a full recruiting class, and then they added Stinson in from a transfer. So that's, you lost 2 players, but then brought back a lot more depth too. So it was kind of surprising to see them only ranked 4th. I mean, obviously Missouri State's going to be up there, Drake, and I think Northern Iowa was the other team ahead of them. So those are 3 really good teams. But Illinois State, when we saw them last year, were able to hang with all of those teams. They almost beat Missouri State. They beat Drake twice, and then Northern Iowa they took care of as well.
Mm-hmm. And Juju Redmond not getting on the first team all MVC for the preseason, that is a massive snub. Is she, what, didn't she lead the entire conference in scoring last season?
I mean, she was up there.
It was probably like, her or Bryce Caleb from Missouri State.
But yeah, like
she's right up there.
14
yeah.
points per game. She led at least the Redbirds, but she also got 6 rebounds, 3 assists in a game. And Mary Crompton, too, as well. She's yeah, lights out from three. Like,
those two are incredible, and I feel like they just didn't really get the respect, yeah. the individual recognition.
Looking at it, though, there is only, I believe, only one first-team selection for the women's side. The men's, there's like 3 teams they yeah. picked up for preseason. So I'm sure you would definitely see Juju Redmond in that second preseason, and third would be Mary Crompton.
I think you could argue that she's one of the 5 best players in the conference easily after last season.
The thing about Redmond that I was always most impressed by was obviously she puts up her offense numbers night in and night out. But what the progression she made last season was defensively, that she was such a lockdown defender. It could always take on the opposing team's top player and shut them down. That was the element of her game that I thought made her one of the top players in the Valley. And it'll be fun to see what the next progression is, because she is a player that's always looking to improve, just brings that competitive mindset.
And her defense.
I'm so excited she saved for her last year of eligibility, because she's going to take off this year.
Yeah, and Deanna Wilson, she was also newcomer of the year selection on this team last year.
And
she brings a good presence in the post, good defensive
that
player.
She was a really good pickup, a JUCO transfer, still has, I think, 3 years of eligibility left. She's going to be a huge force for this lineup,
like,
too.
Thinking about it, like, it's just the preseason selections that the media and coaches make. Like, it doesn't really matter, and I think the players are going to take to it. They're like, okay, you think we're still going to be fourth? That's not a bad spot to be in the preseason rankings, but where they were last year, like, that's kind of a jab at them.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes down to the failure to produce in the postseason. I think that the postseason collapse that the women's team had last year really hurt them.
Yeah.
As far as their recognition goes, and even in this preseason poll, like, they were one of the best teams in the Valley last season, and to just fall apart at the worst possible times when they went to Hoops in the Heartland, that's something that I'm sure they have in the back of their mind this entire season, at like, okay, no matter what happens, we cannot go through that again, because that was a team that had so many expectations and just failed to deliver.
It almost felt like they were looking ahead to Missouri State in that postseason tournament, but then Loyola proved to be a tougher team for them, a tougher matchup for them, and they lost them by a point just in heartbreaking fashion. So I think they will bring an extra chip on their shoulder coming in this season, realizing what could have been last year, and then not take anything for granted and just attack every matchup. And they're going to be just very fun to watch. We're going to have some good non-conference matchups this semester coming up on WZND. We're going to have that Purdue game broadcast, and I believe St. Louis or someone like that will also have. So it's going to be fun to see just what they accomplish this year, and some very good teams coming in Redbird Arena. So you're going to want to check that out.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about the other team that occupies.
We got two really good teams that play in Redbird Arena. We have the volleyball, and we got women's basketball.
So,
and then we got this other men's basketball team.
The good news is men's basketball was ranked in the top 10 in the Missouri Valley Conference. The bad news is there are only 10 teams, and they were ranked 10th.
As of now.
Next year there will be 11. But
I mean, it's just, and especially the two players they lost, it makes me think losing Dushan Mohorchich to Utah.
Yep.
And then losing DJ Horn to Arizona State. You think this team last year, they weren't good at all, bottom of the league.
With those two,
With those two teams. And, like, you see those guys move on to two pretty good programs, and you start thinking, we already know Dan Mullert, a couple of these games and decisions hasn't fielded good teams.
Yeah.
And now these two people leave that you out of a bad Illinois State team to two really good programs. It makes you think a lot more about the coaching.
What bothers me, too, about the transfers, those weren't even the rest of the transfers. You had Dedrick Boyd, who was kind of your sixth man, like a backup point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He left, transferred to Tennessee State. Then you had Keith Fisher, who opted out, but before he opted out the season before, was a very solid player, was a starter, someone you were going to rely on heavily. He transferred to UTEP, I believe. So then you had two depth players transfer out as well, two of your seniors leave, so that's always a troubling sign when you have upperclassmen leave like
that. In the year before, like Ray Odobu, he's now at Tulsa.
Yeah.
Just every year people keep leaving, but there is a little promise. Antonio Reeves, I would think, Iman Washington.
And like they have a couple guys who we're looking at and we're like, okay, well, these guys, give them 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Give them 2 years. And then
clock's ticking.
But we said, last year we were on the show, man, DJ Horn's going to be a menace in this conference next year.
Yeah.
And it's just, it really feels like that's the culture of this team right now, is as soon as I have the skills to go somewhere better, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And that is not a way to build a good basketball program.
So then the whole way this program operates doesn't seem sustainable to me, because they didn't bring in a single high school recruit. Every new addition to this team either came by virtue of transfer from another program. You had Mark.
Kind of seems like that.
Mark
for a while,
Freeman come from Tennessee State. They had another transfer from App State, and then everybody else is JUCO too. So they're not recruiting at the high school ranks. You're bringing in, maybe you can find some diamonds in the rough like that. There's no denying that. obviously Mihorcic was that. He was a JUCO guy, started off at Lewis University, a Division II school, but coming in to play here, it just feels like they're not building this program up from the grassroots the way they should be.
But some of it does have to do with how much the transfer portal is going around. And two of the guys, Mark Freeman, was all Ohio Valley Conference selection last year. And then also you have Kendall Lewis, who was also doing really well at Appalachian State, averaged 10 points and 4 rebounds a game. So you do get two guys that were producing well in the transfer portal. But, I mean, it's just the things they lost and the people they lost.
There's just no development is my thing. You're not getting a player, molding them over the course of 4 years. You're taking a player that you expect to already know the college game, plug him into your system, get 2 years out of him maybe, and then move on to another guy like that.
And the way that it feels like NCAA basketball as a whole works is you have teams that are always good, you have teams that are always bad, and then you have this weird middle ground of teams who are kind of fluxing up and down all the time. And ISU, I wish they were more of that middle ground, but the past couple of years they have been just the bottom dwellers, you cannot build up by getting JUCO guys who have 2 years left. Maybe it just it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's not sustainable.
That's a way to do it. If you already have the foundation and want to get complementary players, that's what you do. But if you're trying to build a program from the ground up, it's not going to work.
And maybe you did have the foundation before you had your two best players leave in the offseason. But yeah, it's going to be it's just going to be tough to watch.
Before we wrap things up, though, I think the Valley this year is just so deep, though. Loyola, you and I, all top three. Then you have Missouri State, Southern Illinois, who both return 4 out of 5 starters, like 97% of their scoring, and like those were both two good teams. So the top five in the Valley, even including Bradley, like it's a pretty loaded conference. So either way, it's a tough season for the Redbirds,
and we'll have coverage from that all season long. Coming up here on WZND, we'll have some non-conference matchups as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Normal Community Football coach Jason Drangwitz is going to join the show. You're listening on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to The Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZMD.
All right, so welcome back to The Red Zone here on WZMD. We're now joined by Norman Community head football coach Jason Drangwitz. The Ironmen are getting prepared to take on their crosstown rival Normal West in the Chili Bowl. So, coach, welcome to the show. And just to start things off, what does this matchup mean to you and to the Ironmen community?
Well, first off, thanks for having us and taking time to cover our program and the game. We think it's pretty neat that you guys do that. So, well, I think this game means a lot, just from a bunch of different perspectives. Number one, for us, it's to win an outright conference title, which is the first goal we set every year at the beginning of the season. Number two, it's to have an undefeated regular season, which doesn't happen very often. I think is a special accomplishment that teams will remember. And then three, you know, it's to put us in the best possible position going into the playoffs. So from our program's perspective, it's really important. We're also excited just because it's going to be a great atmosphere. There's going to be a lot of fans there. And it's always kind of unique when you get to play your rivals either at the beginning of the year to open the season or at the end. So I think it's kind of a special thing that way. So it's a game that means a lot for a lot of different reasons, but one I know we're excited about, as I'm sure Coach Fincham, his staff, and his players over at West are as well.
And so it is going to be a big game, always seems to be. Do you know how exactly it got to be called the Chili Bowl? We were talking about that. We're like, why is it called the Chili Bowl?
Yeah, you would think I would know that answer, considering I've been here for going on 17, 18 years, but I have no clue. I think it's cool. I think it's its own unique, separate tradition that's special just between our two schools. So I love calling it something unique. I think that brings extra attention to it, makes it special for everybody involved. But, yeah,
You're thinking, like, maybe chili the food or something? Like, do you have your favorite?
Well, whoever wins, typically they give them chili after the game, but I don't know how it got to that.
Yeah.
Last year they didn't do that just because of, you know, COVID and things like that, but you know, I'm not really 100% sure. I should know that.
Is it good chili that you guys get, though? Like, is it?
I've never gotten to try it. Usually it's the players get to try. You know,
I bet the old linemen are.
Give them the enjoyment of that. They do all the work, so.
Yeah, of course. And then you're in an undefeated season so far. How are you trying to preserve that while also preparing for the playoffs?
Well, I think it all goes back to your weekly approach, and you have to set your goals and your purpose at the beginning of the year. And if your goals and the purpose is to win a conference title, to make the playoffs, to try to make a run, your practices should always be for those reasons, right? It shouldn't differentiate based on opponent. And so what I think we've been able to do this year is just stack a lot of weeks of good practices together. And that's a credit to our coaching staff, and it's a credit to our kids, because I do feel like we've been practicing for those purposes all year long. I think an undefeated season is special, but it's not something we really talk about. We talk about every week, 100% of our focus is on, you know, whoever the opponent is we're playing that week. Leading up to West, we don't talk about West the week of Centennial. It's all focused on Centennial or whatever it may be. We're not talking about the playoffs. We're talking about normal West. Now, we talk about our goals and that we should be practicing at that level. So that's kind of been our mindset all year and something that we've always done here.
So how do you, when you're coaching the players, how do you differentiate? Because you were talking about like how you're very focused on the short term and it's really a one game at a time kind of approach. How do you coach that way while still keeping those goals in mind?
Well, I think you coach that way, and that's got to be your message every week. And we start every week off with a team meeting, program wide meeting, where that's our focus. And that just has to be the continuous approach all year long. And I think if you're running your practice the right way and you're developing the right type of culture, your kids will do that. Now, I think your players are probably different. I think they've done a good job being focused week to week, but I'm sure they've looked ahead. I know I don't. I know our staff doesn't. You know, you could be tempted to get ahead and look at some film. And maybe that's wrong. I don't know. But we really try to dial in each week to week. And again, if your goals are A, B, and C, everything you should do should be the same week to week, preparing for yourself to be in that position. And if you're not focused on the week at hand or the practice at hand, you're worrying about something four steps down the road, that's a distraction. And that can affect how you execute, prepare, plan, and perform on a Friday night. So that's kind of been our mindset. We talk about 1-0 each week, and that's not anything unique in football, I'm sure, but that's our focus. And we just try to constantly message that to our players.
And so you mentioned that you're in the middle of an undefeated season. You realize you got a special group. At what point did you realize that you had the makings of this special group? Was it something in the preseason, or was there a point this year where you knew you had something good going for you?
I think going into the season, we knew we had a chance just because we returned so many people that played a lot of snaps for us in the spring. We did have some adversity. We're glad we got to play in the spring, but at any one point in time in every game of the spring, we were starting 16 to 17 juniors and sophomores. So we knew we had some experience coming back. And then you compound that with that the turnaround to the next season was a lot shorter than what is typically, you know, and the season ends in April. Well, we're starting back up with football stuff kind of in June. So we knew we had a chance from an experience standpoint. And then I would say just early in the season, we felt that way because we were really happy with how we were preparing for opponents that we should beat. And then also we didn't, I don't know, sometimes when you play opponents, you know, you should be, you let them hang around. You don't execute well. You don't perform very well. And in those games, we were taking care of business right away from the start. And I felt like that was a good sign. And we do believe we have a group of players that love to play. I mean, they love to play the game. They love to compete. They have a lot of confidence. But so those things throughout the beginning of the year, going into the year and then early on the season, we maybe felt that way. Now, we still got to get a lot better. We still got to continue to improve. We got a great 2 days of preparation this week if we want to play at the highest level on Friday.
And you guys went sub 500 for the first time in 26 years last season. Was there like a player on your team that kind of was a big leader throughout the offseason and throughout this year as well?
Well, it's been a number of guys. You know, I could point to our captains. You know, Chase Mackey, Tyler Dwinell, Mark Horton, Zion Williams, Tiny Camp, Cam Moss. But I really think it's been driven not only by those guys, but by all our seniors. You know, our attendance in the off season is outstanding. Our kids show up, they work hard, they're coachable. So I would give the credit to, you know, our seniors and our captains and also a lot of the coaches on our staff of pushing us towards the right direction. Coach Messina, our offensive coordinator, has done a great job. Coach Murn, our defensive coordinator, great job. So we're pretty lucky that way.
And you guys have obviously had a very good team, and you've been especially sound on the defensive side of the ball. You've got three shutouts this year. Has anything changed in the way that you're scheming defense, or is it just personnel? Like you, some of the guys
you come up from the spring. Mm-hmm. So scheme stayed the same, right? I think what's happened, one thing fundamentally we've changed is we used to be a two platoon team, meaning you were either on offense or on defense. And we had maybe one or two guys that kind of cross trained. Well, I think we've done this year is we don't do that. We don't full platoon. Everybody's learning both sides of the ball. So it's made us have all our best players available to us on both sides of the ball, which has helped, especially when we've been banged up a little bit the last couple of weeks. We've been able to play some of our better players on defense. Also, I don't think it's schematic. I mean, Coach Murn puts a great game plan together, defensive scheme together each week. But again, we got all these guys come back to play that just played a ton of football and have a lot of experience and or another year in the system. So I think that would be definitely why we've continued to have some success defensively.
And I know you don't want to look too far ahead, but moving into the postseason after this week, your team's ranked among the top 10 in 7A, which is a loaded field. Where do you think your team stands compared to, you know, some of those top schools in that area?
Yeah, you know, guys, to be honest, I don't know. It's hard to gauge. I mean, 7A is just you're going to play some of the who's who in high school football, and you're going to have every week you're going to have a challenge. You're not going to avoid any competition, but I like to think we will hold up well. Don't know. Haven't looked at film. Haven't analyzed any of those teams. Just been focused on our regular season and taking care of the goals at hand and whatever the game is at hand. And on Saturday morning, we'll start looking at the playoffs and start seeing where we stand and digest it from there. We have so much respect for Normal West and our opponents in our conference that we don't ever want to do them a disservice by looking beyond and preparing for things that are in the future. We need to focus on them at hand because we know we're going to have our hands full on Friday.
And for this season, is there a player that kind of came into this year that maybe you didn't expect to see playing out on the field a lot and maybe now is stepping up in a big way?
A lot of guys offensively. I mean, I can name a few. You know, Tommy Davis, the sophomore running back, has really come on strong lately. We thought he was a talented player, but we just didn't know. A couple of our offensive linemen that were new starters. Carter Elson's been a pleasant surprise at left tackle for us. I think even the guys that returned have upped their game and played much better on both sides of the ball. Defensively, Jackson Hesse has played a lot of Rover, did not play much as a junior, has really done a nice job. Chase Weiss, who was a sophomore and is a quarterback last year, played for us, is playing Rover. But there's a bunch, Dexter Niekamp. But again, some of our best players, Ty Niekamp, our inside linebacker, has had an outstanding year. I think he's the best defensive player in the conference. I mean, he's really raised his game. Javon Smith, I mean, you guys know. I mean, it's not just one or two guys that to be where we're at, have this success. It's not just one or two guys raising their level and showing something new. It's got to be almost everybody. So, I'm just really proud of our players. I feel like they've really risen to the occasion so far this fall.
And just to close things out here, as you reflect back on some previous Chili Bowls, is there a certain moment or a certain game from your past ones that sticks out to you as a favorite from this matchup?
Not really. They're all special. I mean, I've been a part of 17 of them in my years here, not all as a head coach. This is my fourth one as a head coach. They all stick out to me just from the standpoint of the passion that both teams play with and the energy and the enthusiasm that both teams have. And then also the excitement that it brings to our schools, to our student sections, to our fans. Those things always stick out because rivalry games are really special, really unique, and just bring out the best in both teams and both crowds. And I mean, maybe my first one, my first one in 2018, but if you asked me what the score was and what happened, I couldn't tell you. So they're all special. I'll just stick with that.
And we'd like to thank Coach Drangwitz for coming on the show. We wish the Ironmen the best of luck tomorrow as they take on the Normal West Wildcats. That'll be at Dick Tharp Field at Normal Community tomorrow night. And guys, before we go to break, I just want to ask, what is your go-to chili? What's your combo? What's your chili recipe? Just keeping things loose here.
I just like some beef, onions, beans in there, tomatoes, a couple of little some spices in there. I know there's definitely more I get put in there, but I know Joey doesn't like some beans.
Not a big bean guy. However, I'm a huge spice guy.
Okay.
Yeah, the spice.
Love my chili burning my mouth
really?
To no end.
Not too much.
I don't think there's anything that has too much spice. I'm just a big spice guy, so that's how I take my chili. And then you got to get the tasteful cheddar cheese on top.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You got the cheddar cheese in there.
Oyster crackers on there.
No, not oyster crackers. You put in nacho cheese Doritos or chili cheese Fritos. That's always my
go-to. I've had Cheez-Its, too. Cheez-Its is really good.
Oh, Cheez-Its might be
good. My mom makes a big batch a lot, especially winter, Thanksgiving break. She sends me down, like, just bags of chili. So I just put them in the freezer. And those things can last, like, months. Just stay in the freezer.
Leo, what I'm hearing is an invite to Joe's for a little chili
night. A
little chili night. Watch some football sometime.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
After the chili bowl. So now that all 12 of our listeners have changed the channel, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Gavin Broderick is going to join the show. And we're going to talk some NFC North football. That's coming up next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone on WZND. Leo Stoddard with Joey Dwyer, Joe Kenny, and now Gavin Broderick joins the show. Gavin, welcome to the show. Gavin's our resident Detroit sports expert, and we sympathize with him for that because next to Steve Cease, he's the second biggest Lions fan in the office here. And Gavin, it's the end of one era, start of a new era for Detroit this offseason. I think they finally chose to go in a direction with the Matthew Stafford trade. They got Matt Patricia out of there, brought in the dude, Dan Campbell, whatever it is he does, he's doing it right now. And the Lions are currently 0-6, but this is the start of something bigger, you'd have to hope, right?
Yeah, I agree with your analysis there, where I'm sure you guys may or may not know, last year I was very upset with my Lions. I said fire everyone.
That and the Pistons. Yeah. I remember you were talking. Both not great years for both of those squads.
And even though we are doing worse this year, I really do have hope for once with my Lions. I think we have the skeleton of a really, really good team. I think over the years we get some good draft picks. We can have a really solid team coming
up. It seems like they're doing it the right way, where they're blowing it up. They traded Stafford for picks, which you kind of have to do in that situation. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're wandering around without a direction. I think they're going through the bottom out process right now. And just by accumulating draft picks, you have to get lucky at some point. The more spins at the wheel you get with that.
And did you guys see today, Stafford came out with a interview kind of hyping up before he comes back and plays the Lions. Some reporters were trying to get him to talk about Detroit, and he was asked, like, trying to compare Detroit compared to LA, and he said, as far as comparing to Detroit, I'm not going to do it. I just know I'm going to have a blast playing a bunch of football games with some great players and coaches at LA. But, I mean, he's just always been a respectful guy, and he was always, like, with Detroit, never asking for a trade, because that, I mean, he obviously did this offseason, but that was a lot of pain as, like, a quarterback. He was always getting hit up and everything, and never in a great situation, I'd say. But to see him being respectful about it and everything, it's good to see.
And Matt Stafford's a guy who's never really gotten his flowers as far as being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for as long as he's done it.
Like, there were years he was
exactly,
so good.
And he has just been absolutely bottom
this year now
his
too.
Team. Yeah,
like,
no,
he
and
sees it.
You're finally getting to see Matt Stafford, who is past his prime, playing one of the best seasons of his career because he finally has talent around him, and it's so disappointing because he's a guy, even though NFC North guy, he's a guy I've always liked, and it's sad
respected,
to see.
Yeah.
Exactly, I just have a lot of respect for him.
Like, in terms of the NFC North quarterbacks, I like him a lot more than that guy up north. I thought it was hilarious that one offseason when he was clowning Rodgers on social media with the beverage chugging contest, where he started that, then Trubisky did it, Josh Allen, but it all started with Stafford just absolutely kind of putting Rodgers on blast. He always just seemed like a likable guy, and he, like you guys said, he was never negative about his situation in Detroit because they had some bad teams with him, but he always put them in a position to win, and you certainly have to respect that.
And so, Gavin, before we move on and we start talking about the other NFC North stuff, I did want to ask you a question because this is an argument that, a lot of sports fans have. Is Detroit the worst city to be a fan of right now, because you have the Lions right now, who are awful, you have the Pistons who are awful, you have the Red Wings who are awful, and you have the Tigers who are awful.
It used to be so good.
You're actually wrong about one thing. The Red Wings are bad, not awful.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The Red Wings are like 2 years ahead of the Lions. Exactly.
They have the Iser plan going right
now. Yeah, they do. But like, do you believe that there's no worse place to be a sports fan than Detroit?
Yeah. I do believe that. For the past, like, 10 years, I always say there is nothing more exhausting in my life than being a Detroit fan. but every year, we just lose and we lose and we lose. And then, like, people are like, oh, Gavin, what's your favorite sports team?
But I will say, like, at least you've gotten to see, you've got a Tigers World Series and a Detroit Stanley Cup in your lifetime. Like,
and Pistons, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah, and the Pistons.
Pistons for Gavin.
Yeah, Gavin, you were, what, 4 years old. Two, but yeah, still, you have enough wins in your mind, I guess, to make it all worth it.
But going back a little bit more to the Lions this year, 0-6 right now. First, Jared Goff. What are your impressions on Jared Goff and what he's done so far?
You know, if there is a Lions fan out there, I think he will agree with me that he's not that bad. Honestly, like him.
Yeah.
I like him. A lot of people don't like him. I think he's a great fit for our team. He's new. He's young. I think that over the years, he's trying to kind of find his groove with the team right now. And I think in the coming years that he will be a very key part of our team.
Wait, so do you think that Jared Goff is a long-term plan for the Lions?
I hope it is.
I think it could be. The one thing I think, though, is the money. How much money he got paid in L.A. Like, he definitely did not deserve that. And I think it gets overlooked with how much money he's being paid. Like, he obviously isn't a top three quarterback, top three money, but he is a quarterback that is in, like, top 15 range or hovering around there.
I think that will even out over time, though, because every offseason the quarterbacks that are up become the highest paid quarterback. Mm-hmm. So eventually it will get to the point where he's not in that top 15 pay range, and it'll just, you know, still be a lot, but as the salary goes up and as other quarterbacks start making more, it won't look as bad. Kind of like, you know, how other quarterbacks go through that. And yeah, my whole thing with Goff is he has looked very solid, and I'll get to this overarching theme real quick, that Goff will be good for about 95% of the game, but then he'll just have two, maybe three plays where it's just like, what are you thinking?
See Bears game, for example.
Right. Yeah. But I'm a Jared Goff believer. I liked the year he was with the Rams when they went to the championship. I think he's got some big game potential in him, and he could be a good fit for the Lions going forward. And I've talked about this off air with Gavin before, that right now the Lions have the worst record in the league. I don't think they're a worse team than Jacksonville. I mean that when I say that, or even Atlanta. Because if you look at some of these games, you know, week one against the Niners, they took them to overtime. And the Niners are a team that was very hyped at that point. They played three hard quarters against the Packers. They needed a record-breaking field goal to lose the Ravens. The Lions have a bad record, but I don't think are as bad as some of the worst teams in this league, if that makes sense.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I think that our record makes us look awful. I think the numbers are deceiving. I mean, the Bears game was embarrassing, I admit. But even...
That was a 10-point game still.
Really
though.
Close. Bengals, we did shockingly good. I thought we would get destroyed, but we really did not do as bad as I thought. And this coming week, we're going to lose, just to be clear. But
yeah.
But I really do think we can get 3-4 wins by the end.
And no, I truly think, though, that this is a big part of Dan Campbell and the culture that he brings. Is while the Lions may be a super young team and they're not a very good team right now, but they have kept every single game they've been in close. They do not give up. They I really wish I knew what their fourth quarter point differential was, because it has to be positive far as the season goes, because they put up so many points late in games to bring it close. So and it's a team that really doesn't give up, and I think that bodes really well for the future culture-wise.
And the players are bought in and everything. They know. They don't think about their talent-wise. They know these are guys that Dan Campbell wants on part of his team, because these are guys who are not quitting. These are guys who are staying throughout the game. And the one thing that's really hurt them kind of is just defense has been pretty shaky at times and things. They're giving up a lot of yards, like over 400 yards in multiple games this season. So it's just been a struggle, I guess, on the defensive side of the ball too.
And so Joe's talking a little bit about the players. Gavin, this is on a rebuilding team. It's always kind of fun to play with that game with who's on the team for next year, who's part of this future, who's gone. Who are some players you think currently on the Lions could be franchise building blocks, guys that could be around when this team is good? You mentioned Goff already. Is there anyone else you think fits into that?
Yeah. Wow, that's a good question. I think
two for sure that I think Swift I have, and Hawkinson.
Those
were exactly what I was about to say.
Okay, so how do you feel about the receivers? Because you have Amon-Ra St. Brown and you have Quintez Cephas, two guys who I'm personally really high on. I think they're both really talented young guys.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think overall our offense really, I think we've been really prioritizing them in the last couple of years with the drafts. And I think Goff does have some good guys to throw to, but I think, like you guys mentioned, the defense is a little rough. I think that's something we need to focus on. Specifically, we just get ran on every game. It's really embarrassing, frankly. I think we really need to prioritize that.
No shout out to my boy Tom Kennedy, the backup tight end. One interception on the season. No relation. But he does have my number 85. I was a tight end my junior, so I always look at that guy and I'm like, wow, he looks like me. He honestly looks and runs like me.
It honestly kind of scares me. Joe does. Joe. People don't know this, but Joe drives up to the Motor City on Sundays.
I do. Man, huge Lions guy. But Gavin, they're at 0-6. Realistically, do you want this team to win a game, or like, do you want this team to get the first overall pick? Like, as a fan, obviously that you don't have any control and the players are going to keep fighting, keep playing, but do you want them to keep just tank, or do you want them to maybe win a couple games?
I just want one win. It's against you guys on Thanksgiving. That's it.
That's not always a fun game. Chance, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not a chance. Yeah.
If the Bears lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving, Gavin, it will ruin my appetite. Gavin and Steve, on Thanksgiving.
Listen, not only are we good on Thanksgiving, but we're at home, okay?
Do you not want me to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
I'll have a plate of turkey stuffing and mashed potatoes in front of me. I'll be like, Grandma, this looks really good. I'm just not very hungry.
It's sad.
It's been a long day.
I've watched enough bad Bears games where I'm not going to let one game ruin a meal. Like, I'm able to move on. Like,
usually
that.
By then, like, that's the point where you kind of know if the Bears are going to maybe even do something.
Right.
That's true. If the Bears, like, lose four in a row heading into that, I'll be like,
who cares? Let's just watch.
So, Gavin, I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. I think the Jags will have that back-to-back number one overall pick. That's my hot take. I think the Lions will find a win
even
at some
Texans.
Point in their season. Even the Texans
or the Jets.
Too.
Like, there are a lot of teams worse than the Lions.
Have the Falcons on their schedule. I think that's a win right there. And they can maybe steal one in these next few weeks. So they'll likely have a top five pick. What direction do you want to see them go with? So you probably don't want a quarterback because you're committed to Goff. Do you want to see them go with the offensive line, fix someone on the defense? Because there are some impact players to be had. You know, someone like Kyle Hamilton, Trayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. Where do you want to see them go with that first round pick?
Yeah, I've really been thinking about that all day. I think we need a defensive end.
Yep, that's what I was
And
thinking.
I think we need a new defensive back, at least just one. Okay. I think that'd be really nice for us because we get passed on and ran on all the time.
Yeah, I think so. Evan O'Neill, Kayvon Thibodeau, like you were talking about, two edge rushers that I think are going to be picked in the top five. Guy from Purdue as well. I forget his name. It was like a weird last name and everything. But those three of those guys definitely going to be top seven picks. And for the Lions, ever since Sue left, they've had they brought in a couple people in free agency and everything, but they didn't produce what they put the money towards. But ever since Sue had left, who was a big... Everyone hated Sue. Like,
oh, yeah, still even I did.
Like, I mean, yeah, he did some crazy stuff, but they missed that because he's a guy that he would just get plugged in on this Lions team that needed that energy, and now the defense just kind of looks shaky, and offense has some holes or has some good spots, as we were talking about, but that defensive side of the ball, that needs to get
improved. I think this is a prime example of a bad team with a bright future. I think, Gavin, you're absolutely right. I agree with you that you've done a lot of work building this offense. You have a lot of promising young pieces around Jared Goff, if that's the direction you want to go. So now it's time to start bolstering up that defense. And it really is a process. You have to do piece by piece. And as Bears fans, we know that because in 2018, we had a great defense. And that was a defense that really was built piece by piece. And you kind of were getting these guys. And then when you have enough of a structure, then you can go get your Khalil Mack, right? And so I really like the idea of the Lions kind of building that defense slowly through the draft, and then in 4 years, then they can make that huge push and get those big names and then have a team mm-hmm. that has a chance of making a run.
Yeah, and just giving Dan Campbell some time too as well.
Oh man, I love I'm so jealous of you having a head coach that you like.
Yeah,
because Dan Campbell is the coolest guy
as of
I
right now.
Him.
Yeah, but also like looking at NFC North and everything, who knows? Aaron Rodgers, like he might come back, but if he does end up leaving, like it's gonna be wide open.
It's gonna be a bad division.
Like, I'm probably saying,
probably like, as much really as I hate bad. The Packers, they've kept us out of the Vikings out of like the AFC South territory.
Yeah, but like things are going to start looking up for Detroit, at least for the Lions' sake. I think you got a little bit of a happiness coming your way.
I think by 2025 we'll be number one in our division.
Ooh, okay.
Hot take. Right. In the prime of Justin Fields.
That's what they said though in 09. Prime of Justin Fields. Yeah, that's definitely right.
So we got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Should we discuss the other game that happened between two NFC North rivals, or do we just pretend that didn't happen?
No, we'll discuss it.
I'll say
some shaky
is,
things just play some promos and PSAs instead. Some music maybe.
So Sunday at 12 o'clock, I was preparing for the Illinois State soccer game.
Yeah, you didn't get to watch it.
And I did the Illinois State soccer game, and it was a tie, and it was a very fun game to watch. The soccer team had some great opportunities, and I think that is the only game that happened Sunday at noon.
So I was also at that game. I was covering for TV10. Joey was on ESPN broadcasting it, so I didn't catch a single snap of this Bears game. So I don't have much analysis.
I tried to get out of it.
But what I will say, the fun story I keep telling everybody was we have like a group chat with some of our friends and stuff, and just seeing some of the text messages coming in through it from just various different Packer fans and various different Bears fans with no context surrounding that made it so much funnier. Because I don't know what's going on in any of this, but I'm just seeing my friends lose their minds over
it. I'd see like an all caps text, and then I'd see like the notification from the Bears app that there was a field goal. And I was like, guys, what is going on right now?
But it was disappointing to see. I mean, and now at this point of the year, they have such a tough schedule ahead, and beginning of the game, you thought they were going to blow their doors off the Bears. Like, they start off so good, like best start of this whole entire season so far. And then all of a sudden, get these penalties that aren't being called against the Bears. Yeah. And it just was upsetting.
The thing I'll
things
go
we've
back
seen
and
every
say,
year, though.
I didn't need to watch this game because I've been watching this game on repeat for the past 12 years.
We say this,
Aaron Rodgers with the ball up by a score with 3 minutes left. You know they're going to take it down. You know they're going to score. There's no point in watching. And until he's not wearing green and yellow anymore, I just can't get
he
up
could
for
be
that
58
matchup.
Years old,
and it's like I saw all the outrage about like the I still own you thing.
It's true.
And it's like
it bother me because I was just so upset, but I know it's true.
You cannot even be mad about it because where's he wrong?
He's not. He's Bears have been what twice in his career. The thing that maybe riles me up the most about that, our recurring guest WZND sports reporter Brendan McNorty pointed this out to me. That the spot where Rodgers did that from was the exact same spot B.J. Raji did his end zone dance at after his touchdown against the Bears in the NFC Championship. It was literally watched it frame for frame. I don't think he did it on purpose. It just happened like that, but that just put more fuel on the fire.
If you ever
like that.
Think that Aaron Rodgers doesn't get so much joy out of beating the Bears, like he is... I think that's what he lives for. That's why he stays in the league. He doesn't even want championships. He just wants to beat the Bears twice a year. And, I mean, I commend him for the commitment, but, dude, like, get a life.
Grow up,
touch some grass.
Call your family or something.
And now they got to play a Bucks team that hasn't played a game in 10 days, so they're off rest. That's best offense in the league.
Rest versus rust. Rest versus rust.
Yeah, no, it's just not going to be like that.
You know,
Tom Brady might win the MVP.
One of my favorite things about being a Lions fan is hearing you guys bicker amongst each other. Packers and Bears.
Kevin, I was saying, Lions have had pain, but they know they're going to have pain that season. Bears have pain that they have hope for throughout the season. Because you think it might be okay. We might get in the playoffs. And
Every single Bears season, it's just every single Bears season, they do just enough where you're like, okay, this team may be over 500. They may sneak into the playoffs. And then every single year, it's such a disappointment. And I just get so mad and I get so worked up. And this is why I want to focus on NASCAR. You know, there's one driver. You pick one driver, and then like NASCAR season ends second week in November, and then I'm like, okay, you know what, I can finally now tune into the Bears. They're 3-8. I'm not disappointed. I wasn't invested to begin with.
Looks like we'll have to talk some NASCAR next week.
Let's do it. I love Chase Elliott. We'll
get that
it.
In next week's running order, but we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll have the pick six and more NFL coverage coming up next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Hear that sound, or you know what time it is? It's time to play the Pick Six, our weekly NFL Pick'em segment. Joe, you want to bring our audience up to speed on how it is we do this game?
I do, Leo. So right. The way that we play this game every week is...
doing your NPR voice?
Mr. 1-5.
We pick six games in the NFL schedule, and it's really dumb, and I don't even know why we do it.
Yeah, I think he's just a little upset because he went 1-5 last week. So looking at the standings now, Leo is at first place, 23-13. Joe is at second place at 22-14. And then we got the guests at 21-15 in third. And then Steve and Joey tied for fourth, both at 20-16. So these are all close games. Joey, you're only three games back from Leo. Like, all it takes is one or two good weeks. Like,
I don't know. It's
hey, just if you're throwing the flag, okay. Throwing the towel.
It's just, do you know how demoralizing that was watching NFL Red Zone on Sunday? And that's every one of my picks
honestly,
is losing
this week,
right now.
I didn't even like, last week I was really into it, like watching my picks. And I was like, this week I was like, all right, I don't even remember who I picked. I'm not even going to look. I'm just going to watch this game.
So let's get right into it. Our first game, the Thursday night game, coming up in just a few minutes. The Denver Broncos at the Cleveland Browns. Yes, that's the Case Keenum revenge game. Baker Mayfield's out for the Browns. I'm going with the Broncos here because I really enjoy them. I like what Vic Fangio's done there. I'm a Teddy Bridgewater believer, and I think with the Browns being a little banged up that they'll be able to take advantage of that. But Denver has a great run game, but the Browns also have a good run defense, so it's going to be a weird game, probably low scoring, but I think Denver can muscle this one out because of quarterback play.
Yeah, both teams got top five rush defenses, and both teams are mostly the Browns. They're without a couple of their players. Both of their starting tackles are going to be out too as well, and I just... Cleveland's a good team, though, and they're at home. The dog pound's always wild up on Thursday nights, even when they were just terrible. I'm going to go Broncos, though, in this one.
Okay.
Me, too. I'm also going Broncos. I guess I'm going with the wave
here. I know
what
Joey's doing.
I'm really not looking forward to watching the game, to be honest. I think it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be very defense-oriented game, so I'm just going to watch people hit each other. Go Broncos.
I think that this is going to be an awful game. It's going to
be
so bad.
It's going to be 9-6.
It's going to be awful. And it's going to be a battle of defenses, but the Browns' defense is so, so good that I can't pick against them. And Case Keenum, let's not forget the Minneapolis Miracle. Come on now. I'm picking the Browns.
All right. Faculty advisor Steve Cease also going with the Browns for our next game. We have another interesting one where we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Tennessee Titans here. The Chiefs have been playing snake bitten all year. The Titans are coming off a big win over the Buffalo Bills. I think I'm buying into some of that Tennessee hype here. And I think they're just going to run Derrick Henry all over the place. And I like the Titans here. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Yeah, the Titans did impress on their victory over the Bills Monday night football and going all in that. But I don't think the Titans, the secondary has just been a big weak point, and I don't like that. And I think Patrick Mahomes and their offense, I think they're going to be able to pull it out. So I'm going to go Chiefs in this one.
Well, I'm actually agreeing with Leo on this one. I'm going Titans. Not for an actual reason, just because my friend back home is a Titans fan, and I got to represent.
That's why I did it, too. I know Gavin's turned back.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. The Titans defense is so bad. The Titans defense is so bad, and you're going against Patrick Mahomes. I know the Chiefs have been
less than
stellar, but I got to ride with Joe. I think that the Chiefs have now become like taboo to pick.
It's because, like,
you forget they have Patrick Mahomes, and the Titans, they had one good game. It doesn't mean they're a good team. I love Derrick Henry, and he's going to run all over him. It's going to be super high scoring, but the Chiefs love shootouts.
Yeah.
All right, and faculty advisor Steve is also going with the Titans as well. We'll see how this one turns out for us. Next one, this is one that's going to be so bad that it's fun. The Atlanta Falcons at the Miami Dolphins. Sunday at noon. I mean, clear your schedule. That's going to be absolute
barn burner.
I mean, this is... Tua's coming back. The Falcons are bad. Man. Yeah. I'm still just making up my mind live on air. Maybe the Dolphins.
They're kind of fun.
Yeah, let's go with the Dolphins.
They're kind of fun, Leo. I don't know.
The Falcons are really
They're coming
bad.
A week off being in London, like really not enough time to get back into it.
The Falcons are that much worse than them.
Yeah, the Falcons. I don't think so, because I think Falcons coming off a bye. Calvin Ridley wasn't playing two weeks ago. Now they're coming off the bye. I think Matt Ryan and them, they're going to have a little bit of a field day against this Dolphins team. So I'm going to be going with the Falcons.
I'm with Joe on this one. I'm going Falcons as well. I mean, like you guys said, it's going to be a disaster, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have no idea who to pick in this game. I'm in the same boat as Leo. however, Leo is in first, and I'm trying to gain some ground. So I'm going to go with the Falcons, but I want everybody to know right now, if that's the wrong pick, I am not sold on it. So
okay,
I love these ones. Yeah.
Steve's also going the Dolphins here. So our next one is the Sunday night football game, the Colts at the 49ers here. This will be another...
Skip the Bears box.
Oh, Bears box.
We don't want to talk any Bears.
I assure you, I didn't do that on purpose, actually. I mean, look, it's the Bears, the Bucks, Tom Brady.
Do we even have to talk about this one right now?
Bucks by a lot.
All right, Bucks here, too.
Bucks.
Joey? Are you going to do it?
Guys, I went 1-5. Please have some empathy for my situation. I have not picked against the Bears all year, but now I find myself so far
record.
In a hole. I ride with the Bears, and so you know I'm going to pick the Bears.
Okay.
You know I'm going to. But all I'm going to say is if the Bears win, if the Bears win, Joe, you're lucky you're going to be not on the show next week because I am going to be raining hell on everyone else.
Why'd you point at me and say my name?
Well, because you're not going to be on the show next week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm just saying you're dodging a bullet because Leo's in some
smoke.
Trouble.
You'll get the smoke.
All right, so as I mentioned the last one, Colts at 49ers Sunday. I'm going to go with the Niners here. I mean, they've had a weird season, but I think they got the pieces there to potentially get something going against them.
Yeah, 49ers coming off their bye. Jimmy Garoppolo is back at quarterback. Definitely a good thing. Colts struggling against the pass and with Garoppolo back. And Kittle's still out, but I think it's going to be a good game. Wentz is back in the lineup doing pretty well. But with that said, I'm going to take those 49ers out in the Bay Area.
I guess I'm a rebel on this one. I'm taking the Colts, baby.
Ooh, okay.
This is a tough one. I feel that because both teams like are kind of occupying this weird area where they are kind of good, but not super good.
Yeah.
And I do like the Colts. I like what they've built a little bit. I just don't think they're quite where they need to beat the 49ers. So I got to roll with San Fran. Mm.
And to round things out with the Monday night game, it's the New Orleans Saints at the Seattle Seahawks. Jameis Winston versus Geno Smith at the quarterback matchup. Kind of like the Seahawks matchup last week. Two teams that are flawed but have good coaching, and I think that Jameis and the Saints are going to pull this one out against the Seahawks.
Yeah, like starting Geno Smith at quarterback is going to – it's not
it a great
a good
situation.
Idea
in 2013
and,
when he was drafted.
Yeah, and also the defense for the Seahawks just isn't good. And a good Saints defense, Jameis Winston can sling the ball, so I think Saints are going to take this one. And a pretty – I think they're going to win by a lot.
Really?
Found that out.
I'm still kind of deciding on the air, but I guess you guys kind of convinced me. I'm going to go Saints on this one. It's going to be close, though, I think.
And I'm a big Jameis believer. I think that he's going to lead them to the promised land against a banged-up Seahawks team that's not only missing Russell Wilson, but a couple key pieces on the offensive line as well.
And our faculty advisor, Steve, is going with the Seahawks, so he's the one rebel with that one there. And that'll wrap up our pick six here as we are just about out of time here on the Red Zone. It was a great show this week. We'd like to thank Jason Drangwitz for coming on the show. We'd also like to thank Gavin Broderick for coming on the show. It's always great getting to hear from you, Gavin, with your Detroit sports suffering.
Yeah.
You bring a positive attitude to it, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
And we will continue to have more coverage coming up this weekend on WZND. We got two broadcasts. We have the volleyball coming up tomorrow night. That one's at 5:50 and Saturday night at 6:50. Both of those will be on WZND. You're not going to want to miss that.
As so many things, our soundboard right now is just absolutely losing its mind. Wait, was that the end of the pick six sound?
That was.
All right, Joe, play the close.
There it is.
There we go.
All right, yeah, I was just doing about 2 minutes of good old-fashioned radio filler. But we'd like to thank all of our guests this week on this show, Jason Drangwitz and the Normal Community Ironmen. We wish them the best luck. We like Normal West, too, but we like Coach coming on the show talking. So that's going to be a great matchup tomorrow. I think it's at 7 at Normal West. If you're in town, if you have a chance to try to take that one in, go and watch some high school football because it's week 9.
Matchup.
It'll be a good one.
Bring some chili.
Bring some chili.
Spicy chili, no beans.
If you bring it, sprinkle them on, too. That's
okay.
That's what it is.
A little bit of Cheez-Its in there.
Yeah. Okay, so I like the Cheez-Its. Or maybe some Goldfish.
Ooh,
who knows? Who knows?
I mean, it's always good. But there's a lot going on this weekend, too, in Illinois State.
We'd like to thank Gavin for coming on the show, too. And once again, tune into those two games we have this weekend. They're going to be two big ones. We want two of your last chances to catch the Redbirds volleyball team at home, so that's going to be a big one to take that in. And if you missed any part of tonight's show, you can check it out on WZNA.com where it'll be upcoded in podcast form. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great weekend, everybody.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into the Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.